Good evening, everybody. Glad to see you made it back here for our evening of worship. Let's stand together. We're going to sing Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. We're going to start our service off singing about the Lord and our Savior. Redeemed, all three stanzas.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, His infinite mercy, His child forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, His infinite mercy, His child forever I am. So happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His Father.
Good evening, everybody. I'm glad to see you tonight in the house of the Lord. If you are a guest for the very first time, we are delighted that you are here. We have for you a Connection Point booklet. It tells you about Stanley Heights. It's yours to keep. It'll be a guide for you in our time together, or just explaining who we are and where we are, and just to make it work for you here, make it a great experience. If you are a guest for the first time, just raise up your hand. That's all we ask you to do. And the men will give one of these to you on as they pass by you. Inside of this, you'll see the card. And if you'll complete the guest card side, you can put it in the an offering box, which is to your right or behind you. Or you can hand it to one of our ushers on the way out. We'll send you a thank you note. And we are very grateful that you are with us tonight at Stanley Heights Baptist Church. Let me just say a few things as far as tonight with the announcements. We have we started this morning in your adult Bible class. We started a new series in the book of Galatians, and I hope that you had a great start and hope you're involved in the adult Bible class. Some other things you want to know about. We are trying to have a section in this back for people that really feel more comfortable with masks, and we're really working on that. It's a little different for us today, and let's try to be mindful in the current climate in which we live about social distancing as best as we can. I think there are some other things you can read about on your own. Remember that Saturday is our fall work day. And I hope that you are looking forward to Vision for the World. And we're going to really, I think it'll be a great time. We have Dan and Becky Bennett coming in Brazil. And then Ben and Marie Condra, Muldoon. Oh, my goodness gracious. Ben Muldoon. And this is since they're on deputation and things are going really well for them. We're so thrilled for them. And we're really looking forward to Brother Ben presenting for us here. It's going to be a great time. Well, let's say the scripture that we're learning this month, and we're learning, of course, Light Unto My Path is scripture that we learn each month. This year, the theme of the scripture is the Bible teaching of salvation. And each month we're learning a biblical or a theological term. And then we're learning, of course, the scripture that is the foundation of it all and the definition of it. Let's say together as we learn about adoption, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, lifting our voices, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Well, you did a great job on it. We will go to the Lord in prayer, and then after that, you can be seated. Let's pray. So, Lord, we are grateful to you. because you are a God who is faithful and true. And we give you praise as we gather tonight because you are who you are. And it is with wonderful anticipation we look forward to reaffirming core principles that make us in part who we are as you are working in your church. We are at the same time asking that you would help us to enjoy the ministry of singing to you and to one another and as you speak to us through it. And we ask that the Holy Spirit would give real freedom tonight as we meet in Jesus' name as your body. And so we pray all of this in his name and commit these moments we have together to you. We ask it again through Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you. Please be seated. Well, we do every so often what we call a mini step. Remember step ministry on Wednesday nights throughout the school year primarily is spiritual training and equipping process. And we have training in many different areas. And sometimes I'll do mini step sessions on Sunday night. And tonight we're going to do a mini step session, and we're going to do it. We're going to learn a song. Now, the song is His Way is Perfect. And our media guys are really going to have to pay attention as we work through this song together. All right. So what we're going to do is we'll have the chorus we know, but the verses we have not learned as a congregation. So what we're going to do is we're going to sing this chorus. We will learn the verses. I'll talk to you about what the verses mean, and then we'll sing it and we'll learn it. All right. So Brother Mims is our song leader tonight. And so what we're going to do is he and I are going to go back and forth with all of us together. We're going to learn the song together. All right. So we're going to start with the chorus. And did I say something funny? I don't know if I said it right or not. Nope. Did you do something, Dan? I don't know. We might have to have Brother one of these other men come lead over here. I'm not sure if we can. I think it's live stream, so your mother is watching some point, so be aware of that, and she'll straighten you out.
Yep.
So Ms. Mims, we're doing the best we can with the man.
She said the same thing.
Yeah, well, that's true. All right, so let's sing the chorus to it first. It's what you know, and then we'll come back and do the verses. We'll work through this, and I think it'll be great. So, man, if you'll pull up the chorus. Oh, there it is. Yes, His way is perfect.
His way is perfect. His way is perfect. Though I don't understand His wise and loving plan, His way is perfect. His way is perfect.
Wonderful affirmation of our faith in the providence of God. And as we sing it, we not only affirm that reality and that truth, but then we yield ourselves as we sing to the providence of God as He works in our lives and even using things that we don't understand for our benefit to make us the people He wants us to become. And then it ends with another affirmation that His way is best. How many of you found in your experience walking with God that His way really is best? And how many of you found in your experience walking with God that there are times when you question whether His way was best? And in the end, you said, okay, Lord, I will trust that your way is best. And you found that He is true and faithful in that. Have you found that to be true? So when we sing that chorus, that's what we've learned. Now, let's talk about the verses a little bit. And there are two verses to the song that we'll learn. The first one, let me read to you the words. You see them up there. And the author of this song, Betsy Kistler, begins by talking about her personal situation. When my way seems dark and drear and the future I don't know.
And then she describes her spiritual state, what is happening in her life as she's thinking about the things that are, she doesn't know what's ahead in a very dark and drear time. And she says, "My heart feels so empty as the tears unending flow. When my heart breaks with sorrow and a tempest fills my soul." And then she comes to the end of this and makes a wonderful affirmation. "This one thing I know for sure, my God is in control." And isn't that wonderful? See, we live by faith. We live not by what we don't know. We live by what we know. And in your life, you have to come to grips with this. You must live by what you know, the facts of what God says, faith in what God has revealed. Because you can't know everything, right? And so this song really brings us to that wonderful point, and then the chorus follows. So Brother Dan is going to sing the verse and teach it to you, and then he'll follow the chorus. If you happen to know the song or you want to sing along with him at the verse, you go right ahead and just join him at the chorus. All right, so Brother Dan.
When my way seems dark and drear and the future I don't know, my heart feels so empty as the tears unending flow. When my heart breaks with sorrow and a tempest fills my soul, this one thing I know for sure, my God is in control. His way is perfect. His way is perfect. Though I don't understand His wise and loving plan, His way is perfect. His way.
Of this song describes the burden that we carry. You know, the book of Job has an expression that's a great expression that I think all of us can understand, that man is born for sorrow or for adversity as the sparks fly upward. And you know what it is when you've been around a fire, and as that fire burns, the sparks always go up. And just as that is a constant, the reality is that in a sin-cursed world, we all carry the burden of sorrow. And this is not something that is foreign to our experience. In fact, it's a reality in our experience. And in the second verse of this song, the author of it describes the experience for it. And you'll see the words projected there. When the toils of life are come and my heart is worn with care, I faint neath the burden of a cross I cannot bear. Have you ever felt that way? That the cross that you're, whatever it is that you're carrying at times is so heavy, you just can't bear it. And you probably can understand, and that's why this song is so meaningful, because all of us can understand what that's like. And then the second verse continues with these words, "When the joy has departed from my sorrow-stricken soul, this one thing I know for sure, my God is in control." And then we sing, "His way is perfect." All right, Brother Dan's going to lead us on that second verse and chorus, and then he's going to lead you through all of the song together in its totality.
In case you didn't get that, I'm going to sing the second stanza, and you can join back with me on the chorus. When we get done with that, we're going to start again at the very beginning and all together sing both the verses and the choruses all together.
When the toils of life are come and my heart is worn with care, I faint neath the burden of a cross I cannot bear. When the joy has departed from my sorrow-stricken soul, this this one thing I know for sure, my God is in control. His way is perfect. His way is perfect. Though I don't understand His wise and loving plan, His way
turn to sing it from the top to bottom, and we'll start with the first stanza. When my way seems dark and drear,
when my way seems dark and drear, and the future I don't know, my heart feels so empty as the tears unending flow. When my heart breaks with sorrow and the tempest fills my soul, this one thing I know for sure, my God is in control. His way is perfect. His way is perfect. Oh, I can't understand.
Stand together, sing three stanzas of As the Deer. As we stand together, we'll start with As the Deer Panteth for the Water, singing a song about our desire towards a relationship with the Lord.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength and shield. To you alone may my spirit
is good. Amen. The response is all the time. Are you ready? The Lord is good. That was weak. Oh, that was weak. Let's try it one more time now. The Lord is good. Absolutely. He's in control and He is good. And He's good to us as a church. And He's good to the missionaries that we send out and on the field, and how steadfast and filled with faith and continuing on in the Lord's work they are doing. It's amazing. But they have some prayer requests that we want to share with you tonight. The Grosses over in Moldova are saying, I hope I get these right, we'll call them LNL, Leona and Leula, to grow in Christ and make disciples, boldness to continue preaching the gospel. And then he gets to the initials, M, to continue learning and trust Christ, and V, to start reading through John on her own. These are all special requests. Keep them before you. And then the RCs in Venezuela, they've had a difficult time getting gasoline, which makes it hard for them to minister to church groups. And people have been confined to their homes too long, and the pandemic is even getting worse where they are. And so be praying for them if you would. And the Lord is good, even when you run into a cow in the middle of the night on a road. If you have not seen that video, go see Brother Jim. It is unbelievable. And it is amazing, but the Lord is still good, isn't He, Brother Jim? Let's bow for prayer, shall we? Lord, thank You so much for our missionaries. We want to pray for them tonight. And we ask, O Lord, as we lift up these requests to You, that You would answer according to Your perfect will. We want lives to be affected with the cross, with the blood of Christ. And so we ask, Father, that You'd give those people, bring them into the fold. May they find Christ as Savior, and many be born again because of the efforts of all of the missionaries throughout the world. We pray, O Lord, that You would use us even this week now. Help us look for an opportunity to share Christ with someone. To help someone find Jesus Christ as Savior. Oh Lord, we want to see change in our world. And so we realize that by people being saved, they can be changed and brought into the image of Christ. And so we pray, Lord, that by faith we'll look for every opportunity to share Christ. And now we want to pray as we continue on in our service that we'll keep our eyes on You and grow in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Really, what a wonderful challenge, I think, for all of us. If you have a heart for God, to see people reach for Christ. And thank you so much. Well, I brought a book with me tonight that was a very big seller called Good to Great. I don't know how many of you have read this book. It's a business book. It's written by Jim Collins. And it is an extensive study of companies that were good companies, but they made a very significant step forward that went from good to great. There are a lot of well-known companies that didn't make this list. The criteria was very specific of what it takes to go from being a good to great company. And then in the study, they were trying to ascertain what were the principles that made a company a good to great company. Now, this book was written, I checked it even tonight, and I'll check it again to make sure that I'm not wrong on this. But this book was written in 2001, I believe. 2001. And there are names on the list of the companies that made this good to great list that they studied that you would very well know. In fact, my guess is, for example, how many of you on your way to church tonight passed a Walgreens? Who passed a Walgreens? All right. Most of you passed a Walgreens. Walgreens is one of the companies that became a good to great company. But not every one of these companies has done well, even though at one point they were a good to great company. In fact, let me ask you this. How many of you in the last 3 or 4 years have bought anything from Circuit City? Well, Circuit City was one of the good to great companies in this book. But something changed. And they went from a good to great company to, well, they're not even in existence anymore. So what happens? Somewhere along the way, this company that was doing so well violated their own core principles that brought them to being a healthy, good to great company. And when they violated their very own core principles in time, the company became, in this case, non-existent. You have before you a handout, a half sheet of the core principles that guide us. If you didn't pick one up or didn't get one from one of the ushers on your way in tonight, you can raise your hand and these ushers will give one of these to you. So what we do every year at our anniversary, around our anniversary time, our church anniversary time, we celebrate the second Sunday in September. But every year we reaffirm these core principles that guide us. We do the same thing in Starting Point class. That's our membership class, the new members class. And every year at our anniversary, we reaffirm these principles that guide us. Now there, as you look at that, you'll see that there are a lot of scriptures there. I probably will not turn to any of them tonight. I'll probably quote most of them. I may turn to some. We'll just have to see how the evening goes. And what am I trying to do? Well, here's what I'm trying to do. I told our deacons and pastors meeting tonight before we came. Do you know what I'm really trying to do? I'm trying to help us to be people who think by principle. Most people in America today, this is my opinion, I think most people think by their feelings or their experience rather than by Bible or by principle. Now, for us as believers, everything needs to come back to Bible principle, right? So if you have these conversations, you watch the television news, you listen to the talking heads, you meet people. And whenever people are expressing an opinion, how many of you hear this? Well, I feel that. Now, it's fine that that's how you feel. Listen for it. Just think through, just watch this week how many times you hear somebody when they want to express an opinion, I feel that. Now, what that means is that for them, the process behind their thinking probably has to do with their feelings. I think a better way to put it is this. Well, I think that. What am I thinking? Right? And so what we're trying to do here is, again, get all of us together to say these are the principles that guide us. Well, we go through a lot of change. Life changes. But while things change, some things never can change. Some things need to change. Right? Some things need to change. How many of you think that you'll be glad when we're done with all this COVID business and we can go back to normal? I mean, does that need to have we made the need to change yet? How many of you are getting closer and closer to the need to change? All right, let's go back. So that's a political matter now. So who knows what in the world's going to happen? I wouldn't be surprised if early in November, depending what happens early in November at a big event, I wouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden things change. We'll just have to see what happens. So really, we're learning and reaffirming principles, and we're learning to think. Because in life, there are a lot of things that you can't know the particulars of, but if you learn to think according to the Bible and think by biblical principle, whatever the question you face is, you can make a wise, God-pleasing decision if you think according to God's principles. Does that make sense? Okay. So let's walk through these tonight and do this as part of our church body life. I've given you this handout, and the good news is it is all filled in, so you don't have to scramble and write them all in. But let me walk you through them together. We need to pray and ask God to help us, because remember again, we want God to help us to think wisely, become discerning. So we want to be discerning, and I want God to help me to know where I should stop, preach a little, encourage you a little bit, then where I need to move on was really not the most important. And I really do want the Lord to guide me tonight, as always we do. So let's ask the Lord to help us, okay? Lord, we have tonight sung. It's been good to sing about the fact that we've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And we've sung about your ways being perfect because you are a God who is perfect in your character. Your very being is perfection. And the ways that you work in our world are always perfect, though they are beyond us, because your ways are higher than our ways, your thoughts above our thoughts. We've sung some songs right from the scriptures. A song right from the scriptures. And now we ask God for your spirit to help, because we want to have our minds molded and shaped by the truth of the Bible. So we can be wise people. And oh, if there's ever a time where wise, discerning people are needed in the world and in our country, it's this time. And so we pray you would do that. I pray you'd help me even to know the enabling of the Holy Spirit to communicate and to know, have a sense of direction from you where I need to stop and encourage folks, and we need to think things through a little bit, and where I just need to move on and be wise with the time and the investment our people are making in their own growth tonight. And so we ask for the Spirit to guide. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's talk about perspectives of ministry. We've done this for a long time now. And if you've been at Stanley Heights as long as some of you have, we've done this for about 20 years. But they're wonderful principles that never change. It's an acrostic perspective. Perspectives, and let's talk about them. First, letter P, the first word, perspective principle is that we are purpose motivated. You'll notice there the scriptures that are listed, the 22nd chapter of Matthew 35 to 40, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. These two passages are known as the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, respectively. The Great Commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It is always God's purpose in whatever else happens in life. It's always God's purpose for his church to worship the Lord, to love him. Heart, soul, and mind with all that we are. It is always God's purpose for his people to worship. It is always God's purpose for his people to serve, to love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. Love our neighbor as ourselves. And then the Great Commission passage, Matthew 28, tells us this, go ye therefore and teach literally. I like this, teach disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And it reminds us of the three other purposes that the Lord has for his church. There is outreach, go ye therefore and teach disciples, make of all nations, so that God makes the assumption that his people are proactively going. Let's stop and think about our own witness for the Lord. Are you as an individual believer proactively seeking a person that you're praying about, that you are talking with? Proactively preparing for meeting people and having conversations with people and asking God to open doors of personal testimony and witness to them about their spiritual condition. That's always God's purpose for his church, and that's here, and that goes beyond here to parts all around the world. And when you saw the missionary highlights today, the Gross family in Europe, and then in the country of Venezuela, the Arce family. And boy, I'll tell you what, Venezuela is a place that is a very difficult place. And if you want to know where socialism leads, visit the Arces in Venezuela. But these are people that God has sent to places where we are not, but where he is doing a wonderful work of reaching people. And how wonderful it was to highlight them today and to read about these missionaries. And that is part of our commitment to where we are part of what God is doing here as well as around the world. And then you'll notice fellowship. For those that come to Christ, they are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they become part of a local church family. The significance of the body, God's place for making disciples and reproducing disciples, is the local assembly. And then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, that is discipleship. Now, as you know, there are a lot of things that change in life. But here's something that will never change. God's church always has these five tasks: worship, service, outreach, fellowship, discipleship. So what we always want to make sure that we do as a congregation when we are making decisions, should we take this step? Is this an open door that God has? We always ask the same question first, right? The first question we always ask is this in line with God's purposes? Now today, you see in your bulletin, and I'm for this in its place, that it's an encouragement to get out the vote, right? And listen, I am very concerned and interested in things political, right? And I'm not making this a political commercial, a political speech. I'll say, however you vote, you better think through what is the Bible principle, and the very principle that guides your life ought to guide your vote. And when you make elections, and all we have to do in election year is drive around our city, and I mean, goodness gracious, there are signs and flags all over the place. And the one you vote for is the one that has the most red, white, and blue. That's the one. The one with that sign is the one you vote for. No. No. But we have such a wonderful privilege in this country that we, as the citizens, President Lincoln said in the Gettysburg Address, that this is a nation of and by and for the people. And that's even a concern I think that we should all have about the sacredness of the vote and all of that. But listen, we're not going to turn our church into a place that is get out the vote for this party or for that party, this candidate or that candidate. Now, if you want my opinion, you're welcome to ask. I'll give you my opinion. I won't even charge you. If you want to know, I'll give you my opinion. And I have pretty strong opinions on a lot of these things. But even if we get the candidate of your choice elected and we make a big effort and we do that in every county where you live, we have people that live in five different counties, every municipality where you live, each state, we have people from two different states, and we get every candidate, everyone that you want to have, and you get them elected. And when election day comes, you look at the ballot that you filled out beforehand as you got prepared to go to the ballot to vote, and you look at that, and you say, boy, I won every race that I voted for. If all of that happens, and we aren't striving to fulfill the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, we have missed it. Because all that's going to pass away. Make sense? So these five purposes are always what God... It may take different shapes and forms. We may do things different ways. In fact, we will do things different ways. Do you really want to, 10 years from now, be doing everything exactly like we do it right now? Really? Don't you think you'll get bored? Let's think it through. We want to be as effective as we can without violating God's principles. But hey, listen, let's be wise and discerning so whatever else happens in life, always driven by these five purposes. Well, let's go from purpose motivated to equipping members for ministry. And this is the training portion of a church ministry. My father, last Sunday at his church in Ohio, there was they posted this, their service on there. My father was recognized with a plaque, or a clock rather, decorative clock. Just a few weeks ago, my father taught his last Sunday school lesson. He has been teaching Sunday school up until just a few weeks ago for 57 years. I can't even imagine. I'm not 57, so I can't imagine that. 57 years. So my mother, Vicki was talking to my mother, and she had her pull it up on the TV and on the internet, and we watched their church service and moved forward to the end. She said, here, watch this. And my father was, they didn't realize he didn't know he was going to be recognized, you know, and they gave him this clock congratulating him for 57 years teaching kids the Bible. And so I called him on the way home from Wednesday night. And I said, hey, last week was his birthday, so I called him this Wednesday as well. I said, hey, I saw you on the Fellowship Baptist Church video. And I said, Dad, that is wonderful that they recognized you. I'd called him after his last Sunday night of teaching class. I called him that week and I said, congratulations on 57 years. And I said, that was just wonderful. Really, really great. And so he starts telling me about how he got started teaching Sunday school. And he's there's a man, Mr. Foster, who said, Ron, I think you should teach Sunday school. I think you could do it. Well, he said, I hadn't been a Christian very long, and I don't even know if I could do that. He said, oh, you don't, just come and sit in with me. And he started sitting in, and 57 years later, he sat out. That's quite a long time to sit in. And he said, yeah, Mr. Foster trained me. And then there was another person, and this person's name I can't remember, who he said, when I had questions about my lesson and things I didn't understand, I'd always check with this person and really helped me and really trained me in how to study the Bible. And then there's Mr. Dedman, and Mr. Dedman really trained me. And I got thinking about this, that it's something that so long ago, that training paid off, wouldn't you say? Training. Skills, how to walk with God, how to do the work of God, training. We want to be a church that trains, because here's one of the jobs of pastors, Ephesians chapter 4. He gave some apostles and prophets. And those were transitory for the founding of the church. And some evangelists, itinerant preachers, and some pastors and teachers, that dual role of a pastor teacher to lead in congregations. And here's one of the reasons that God gives pastors to congregations: for the perfecting, can I use the word training, the word equipping, of the saints for the work of the ministry. Training. I've talked about this recently, but I want us to make sure that we as a church are always training, because you always want to train more people than you need. You say, well, why do you train more than you need? Because you're always going to need somebody. Right? Something's going to happen and you're going to need somebody. There'll always be a need. And hey, let's even think beyond this. Not just here, but as God brings people into our body and then He sends them to other places. We're not just training for us. We're training people for other churches. And we're training people for a lifetime of service. Training. All right. So equipping members for ministry. If I go at this rate, we'll be done next Sunday morning. Letter R is relational groups, because people connect with people. You'll find in your life, when you start isolating yourself from other people, you are in a very dangerous place in your spiritual life. God made a body just that, a body, interdependent. Individual priests before the Lord, but yet interdependent. So for us, that's where primarily, though not, there are other places where people connect relationally, but that's where your adult Bible class and your kids' Sunday school is really significant. Not just for the teaching of the Word and that personal ministry, or that the teaching of the Word, but it is the personal ministry of people to one another. Because you know that God uses people to touch people, and all of us have lives that have touched us in great ways. And your life can touch people in great ways, but you have to have a relationship with people. So we believe in relational groups. Other ways we do it at different times, but letter R, you'll see it there. Primarily for us, relational groups, and you'll see how Jesus did. Jesus ministered with multitudes. I mean, they came, but the multitudes didn't change the world. Do you know who changed the world? The group of disciples. There are others that were also the Lord's disciples. We read about another place, the 70. Of all the people that heard Jesus, really a very small amount stayed with Jesus. But from that very small group of people, now 2 millennia later, we are the recipients of the ministry that Jesus gave to those handful. It multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. And you're part of it. It's amazing. Well, then you'll notice we believe letter P in the practical ministry of, supportive structure. I'm not going to do anything else with that. Is that all right with you? If you want to talk about it, you can come see me afterward and we'll open the Bible and I'll walk you through the importance of structure. But I will say this. Over the last few months, I've realized more and more the significance of structure and organization. Organization doesn't guarantee the power of God. But I'll tell you what. It allows us to minister to people and people to experience doing the work of God better when you're better organized. And so I've really come to appreciate it. And we have a lot of work to do in that area. And then we believe in the practical ministry of the word. And it is the word of God when it is applied to your life that makes you free. That is why Jesus said, if you continue in my word, this is John 8:31-32, then shall ye be my disciples indeed. And if you will continue, you are truly one of my disciples. Then Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And in handling the Bible, and we do so, strive to do so accurately, historically, and interpret the Bible accurately, and apply the Bible, and handle the Word with great caution and care. This is the Word of God. We aren't just throwing around the preacher's opinions. And really, my opinions aren't worth anything anyway. But let's bring to what God has already said and open the word and let the word wonderfully work and make people free and bring it to where we live. Because that word is not just meant to fill my head. That word is meant to go to work with me tomorrow. It's meant for you to take it to the street wherever you go. It's meant for you. So wherever you are salt and light for the glory of God. And you are experiencing the power of the word to make you free. We believe in evangelism, and I think that the song that Miss Sandra signed for us tonight really speaks to our heart for evangelism, a climate of acceptance. So however people come, we want them to know that this is a place where they can be loved. And we want to be that kind of a church, and I want you to be that kind of a person that reaches out and loves people, because really we want people to grow, and we want them, however they may feel like they fit in or not, but there's one thing that overcomes any of those kind of barriers. It's unconditional love. Didn't Jesus say, this is the one mark of my disciples, if you have love one toward another? Well, then there is the transparent leadership. It's something that is very significant to us. Jesus said, whosoever much is given of him shall much more be required. And it starts with our leaders. It starts right here in the pulpit. Our pastoral team. Our deacons and others in leadership. Because I've said this 1,000 times, maybe 2,000 times. If you expect perfection, you're going to be disappointed. How many of y'all have heard me say that? Yeah. How many of you realize, yeah, I'd be disappointed. Yeah, it's true. He's telling the truth. You better believe it is true. You better believe it is. But here's one thing you ought to expect, and it starts right here. And it's on me. That the things that I preach to you about, isn't just preaching to me. This isn't just telling you that the things I preach to you about before I ever preach to you about, I'm preaching to me about. And that I am striving, it starts right here, I am striving to authentically, though really imperfectly, to authentically live the truths I'm preaching to you about. So we believe in transparent leadership. We believe in innovation and creativity. Who would have ever thought that we wouldn't be able to gather because of a pandemic a year ago? Who would have ever thought? It's crazy. It is just crazy. And, you know, things happen in our world, and I keep saying, that's incredible. But after a while, I think, can I say that's incredible anymore? And then something else happens, and I say, that's incredible. I've got to come up with another adjective. I don't have enough adjectives to describe 2020. Are any of you all running out of adjectives? Boy, things change. And really, I think one of the great, if there is anything great about all these kind of things that are going on, is it allows us to stop and to think and evaluate and say, maybe we need to think some things through in a different way and do things in a different way. Maybe we need to be open to new ideas. You all have been so good about this over the years. I've marveled. I've marveled at you. Y'all, you think so well. When given a good reason and a good Bible reason, a good biblical rationale, practical rationale, I'm amazed at how flexible you are. At times, I think as Brother Tucker one time said, we're beyond flexible, we're fluid at times. And what's amazing, really, I'm amazed at this. Your discernment and capacity to be very principled and standing firm without apology, without backing down in some ways, and yet in other ways to be so flexible and willing to do new things and try new things. I just sit back at times and I marvel at you. And I think in part, it's because you are discerning, thinking people, and you understand that there are some things we cannot change. We have here an unchanging commitment to doctrinal fidelity. Are we true to biblical truth? See, how many of you know you can sit on this side of the building and be true to biblical truth, and you can sit on this side of the building and be true to biblical truth? Right? We might even rearrange the seating for social distancing and still be true to biblical truth. And then there's unchanging commitment to biblical obedience. Let's obey the Bible. And boy, we have to become very discerning, because there are always times through, it started this way in the New Testament, it will always be this way. There are wolves in sheep's clothing who try to bring in false doctrine and false practice. If you were in an adult Bible class today, how many of you read and heard about that? If there is another gospel preached, let him be. What's the Bible word? What was the Bible word if someone preaches another gospel? Paul was pretty weak on this, wasn't he? Let him be accursed. That's not very multicultural and loving and politically correct, but it's true. And it's right. So there are some things where we can never back away from obeying the Bible, even if we have a good goal. And a good godly goal. But if we obey or disobey Bible principle to get to that goal, we have still disobeyed Bible principle. And then we are driven by an unchanging commitment to adaptability. And I've watched you do this. And can I say this in a good way? I'm so proud of you. Because you think wisely You have the great freedom of flexibility without compromise. And you know, there will be other things that will happen, but we always come back to, are we true to the Bible? Are we true to biblical obedience? Are we willing to be flexible and adapt to make that work so that we can be obedient to the Bible? All right. Vibrant atmosphere. I'm not going to say much more. Expectancy. Oh, God help us to be people of faith. Hebrews 11:6. And just like everything else, when we came to the Lord, we took a step of faith. We received the Lord and we were saved. And that walk with God is a walk of faith, step by step. And as you receive the Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. And that's the way that everything goes here. We just keep taking step by step by step. Sometimes it's murky. What's that next step? Let's pray and ask God what to do. Let's think it through biblically. And then when God makes it clear, let's go for it. Take that step. Take that step. And that's just how God does things. Don't know how we're going to do it, but let's just trust God and let's take one step at a time. One step at a time. That's how you came to Christ. That's how you grow in Christ. And that's how a church like this just keeps moving forward, because God leads. Jesus is the head of the church. He directs His church. And as He is working, we follow Him and we take step by step by step. And it's challenging. It's exciting. Because some things change. Some things never change. But if we'll follow God step by step, God will never lead us wrong. You know why? It's what you sang about tonight, right? He won't lead us wrong because His way is perfect. That's why the scriptures say, as for God, His way is perfect. Would you stand? We're going to close with prayer. So, Lord God, You have proven Yourself to us. We all have dreams and desires that at times You've allowed us to experience. There are sometimes You've redirected, but You are always wise and always good. Your way really is, Lord, perfect. And because this is so, we have great expectation that as we follow You, You, Lord Jesus, the head of the body, will lead Your body. Now, our commitment, Lord, and Your people at Stanley Heights have followed You and made this commitment over the years. But our commitment is, if You will lead, we'll be willing to follow. And so we ask, O Lord Jesus, that You would lead. We pray, even as we go into the mission field that You've given each of us this week, that You would lead us to form relationships and to start conversations and give us faith to be bold in sharing with people and asking questions about where they are in their spiritual life. Help us to be Your disciples, following You and fellowship with You, and then impacting others so that our lives bless others and bless Your name. And the impact of each of our lives is multiplied. So we commit ourselves to You for the mission You have for the week before us. And we ask Your grace for us here. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night. God's blessings.